Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
As followers of Christ, we will be met with challenges and difficulties because we will refuse to compromise on our core beliefs. Don't be fearful. Be bold as a lion. You are to be a true witness for Jesus Christ. Please open your Bible to the beginning of 1 John and listen as Pastor Ray Viola uses cross-references to round out his discussion of verses 9 through 11 of Revelation chapter 6.
We read in the book of 1 John, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, we are called to bear witness of who Jesus is, that men might come to the saving faith of him by grace of God. These early church men, women, leaders, during the first few centuries of the church and even presently, they preached Christ. Christ has come. Christ was buried. Christ risen. Christ coming again. The message was simple. They pointed people to Jesus. And evidently, back in the days of Paul, and even to this present day, there was a lot of name dropping. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of this person, I'm of that person. You won't get persecuted if you're called to be a follower of this man or that man or this group or that group. But if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you're going to find yourself right in the dead heat of the battle. They preached the name of Jesus. They preached the gospel that bore his name. So we get fired up. We get challenged. We get encouraged. So are we to interpret what I'm saying so far as a battle cry to leave this church building, go out into the world and be as obnoxious and rude as I possibly can for the glory of God? Yeah! Let's go out there and get them for Jesus. Let's just make these big signs. And as people are driving by 500 Main Street on Sunday, turn or burn, stop the car, pull them out. Point the fingers at them, put them down, be obnoxious, be rude for the glory of God. No, no, no. That's not what Jesus teaches us. However, may I exhort us this morning to simply do this. Let's be lovingly and unashamedly bold for Jesus Christ in our sharing of the gospel and how we live out our faith day in and day out. I am absolutely convinced from the record of Scripture that the saints in the times of the apostles and throughout the first few centuries were not concerned with whether or not the message of the gospel was perceived to be intellectually stimulating or philosophically stimulating. Here's the message that they preached. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Notice they didn't modify the message to the various people. We preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. No compromise there, was there? And though we know that Jesus, as well as the apostles, always sought to meet people where they were at, they were not concerned with being relevant when it came to the hardcore facts of the gospel. You know why? Because until a person knows the desperate condition that they are in, they will never see the need for the great physician. And so here we are today, in a nation so privileged and so blessed And we have this message, gospel, good news, that is the most glorious message that can ever be proclaimed to fallen man. But we need to also remember that it is also the most offensive and intolerable message to fallen religious, self-righteous, spiritual man. It's either or. And we don't have the authority to modify it, to water it down, to tamper it, to tone it down. It is what it is. We preach Christ crucified. Somebody says, that's foolish. That's ridiculous. We want a sign. We want a wonder. You know, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached and the 3,000 were pricked in their heart, they didn't say, we were so intellectually stimulated by your message. They didn't say we were so philosophically challenged by how relevant you are. They were pricked in their heart by the word of God that revealed to them that they were sinners like me who needed the only Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the message that pricks the heart. And we need to be living lives that prick the heart without even saying a word. That passage back in Revelation 12, they loved not their lives unto the death. How challenging that is, isn't it? They loved not their lives unto the death. In other words, they loved Christ more than themselves, their comforts, their plans, their purposes. They were changed forever, weren't they? And it was a change that was obvious to those who used to know them. 1 Peter chapter 4, we read in verse 1 through 5, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Notice, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. Well, you know what I'm talking about. The Lord gets your heart, you get saved. You're a new man. You're a new woman. You start living differently than you did. And the old crowd cannot get it. They think you're strange, don't they? They think it's strange. How come you don't do those things you used to do? Saints, God calls all of his people, old or young, rich or poor, to be holy. The Greek word for holy is hagios. And that root word means different. And may we never be ashamed or afraid to be different for the right reasons. Don't be afraid or ashamed to be different for the right reasons. Now, there are Christians who are persecuted because they're just weird and because they're just obnoxious or rude. You know, you get on a public transportation, a bus or something like that, and perhaps you're sitting in the back of the bus and they get on the bus and you've got to put on this public display of the devotion to Christ. Oh, Brother Viola! And everybody in the bus turns around and then you turn around also. And there are people that think that they're being persecuted for righteous when they're just weird. They're obnoxious. They're rude. They deserve it. But we ought to be those people who live lives in such a way that bring glory to the Lord. These passages in Peter remind us how we need to be more concerned with living to please the Lord than the lost and even ourselves. These saints here in Peter realize that they cannot live in the world of the past and grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ at the same time. Now, the perception is, wow, Pastor Ray, this is a heavy message. This is for people that are really, really old and mature in the Lord. Well, no, no. You know what? This is an entry-level message. You realize that? When Jesus had the multitudes around him, and he gave what is classically known as the Sermon on the Mount, you recall that each of the blesseds are followed by a promise of what God will do for them or give to them. However, if you're sensitive to the whole flow of the Beatitudes, there's a change in verses 10 through 12. It's a change that is a promise of how the world system will react to the person that is poor in spirit, that mourns for sin, that is meek, that is merciful, that hungers and thirsts for righteousness, that is a peacemaker. And what is the reaction? Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Jesus tells those who were his disciples, when you live your life in such a way, there are going to be times when you are going to be opposed, harassed, persecuted, and as we've seen today, perhaps even martyred. John put it this way, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. And again, knowing that the world will act hostile to genuine Christ-like character is not a call to bear our spiritual arms, go out and be as obnoxious and cold-hearted toward the unsaved. Not at all. I really believe with all of my heart that we should be, the body of Christ should be the most loving, the most caring, the most concerned, the most compassionate community of people on the face of this earth. The Good Samaritan is all about being there for people in need. We are to be the salt of the earth. We are to be the light of the world. When there are those crises, we should be the people amongst the people that are there in the name of Jesus. Thank God for Christian hospitals, Christian relief efforts, Christian schools. Thank God for all of those things. However, in our efforts to reach the lost or help the hurting, never should we compromise the gospel that we are told to proclaim. Never should we compromise the moral standards of God as presented in Scripture. We are to be salt. We are to be light. We are to maintain that standard in all of those outreaches. Amen? And so here you are. Here am I, going to work, going to school, wherever our feet may take us on any given day, doing it all for Jesus Christ. And in the sake of normal conversation, expressing our biblical convictions and views as freely as anybody else does theirs. You know, we have all kinds of people knocking on our doors these days. I'm not just talking about the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses. Greenpeace, Save the Whales, global warming. I see people that are passionate coming to my doorstep. They're evangelizing for these causes. They're not quiet. They're not silent. But when you and I simply live our lives devoted to Christ and share our biblical convictions on all of those quote-unquote controversial topics, there will inevitably be hostility manifested. Could be as tame as the cold shoulder at work. You're the weirdo. I don't want to have anything to do with you. It could be a cold shoulder, you know, the track that you live on or the block of the city that you live on. They have their yearly party, but you're not invited. Because you're the weirdo that has the Bible study, the prayer meeting. And if you and the likes of you come, you're going to spoil their party, so they perceive. So you may get a cold shoulder. But let's just say that you are taking a stand for Jesus Christ today in Saudi Arabia. Do you just get a cold shoulder? No. They take you somewhere, and they imprison you. They harass you. They beat you. They martyr you. Because, they do that in Egypt, don't they? Sar and Soher, right? Just for living for Christ. What are their options? Do they have one? Do we have one? So there is going to be that opposition. We've all faced it, haven't we? You have, haven't you? It's inevitable. And if we seek to hide, not wanting to deal with the confrontation, we're not going to grow, and we are dishonoring the Lord. Now, having said all of this today, where do we get the strength to do this? Where do we get the courage to do this? Because I'm absolutely convinced that if you were to go on your computer when you left today and type wimp on Google search, you'd probably get a picture of me. Because when I read these things and I find myself being in places in the world where I have been challenged to the core about these things, I said, Lord, I need your help. I need your strength. I need your courage. I need your power. You know, it's amazing that he is always right there when you need the grace to say and to do what he's called you to do. So the one thing that we need to realize is that God gives us divine power for the mission. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. There's that Greek word again. Witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Interesting that when Jesus spoke these words, he was there in the Middle East. Do you realize that according to Bible terminology, the uttermost part of the earth would be our continent? So we're even close to the end. It's only by yielding to the power of the Holy Spirit that we can fulfill our callings to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ in the entire world. And I take that to mean that our witness is to be expressed with the talents and the gifts that God has given to us, whether it be painting or art or music or writing. Use those talents that God has given you to you to express and to communicate the glory of God in the name of Jesus Christ. And do you realize this morning that God has in Scripture what I like to call the Divine Witness Protection Program? Here in the book of Revelation chapter 11, it says, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks proceeding before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony," notice, when they finish their testimony, "the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them." This fascinates me. Here in the middle of the tribulation period, the height of the tribulation period, are these two powerful witnesses for Jesus Christ, and the enemy cannot take them out until, what? They finish their testimony. You and I as a believer are on this earth as followers of Jesus Christ now for a measured amount of time with a testimony to finish. And you are indestructible until you finish your testimony. That could be preaching the gospel in a foreign nation and being martyred, or it could be walking across the street and you get hit by a car. When you finish your testimony, you go to heaven. You are indestructible until you finish your testimony. That is glorious news. We can be bold for Christ. The enemy can't take us out until God's through with us. He can harass us, he can persecute us, he can mock us, but he can't take us out. When God says, "Raymond, I'm through, I'm gone," you go, "Oh, no, don't go." Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of his saints. Tell my wife, I said, "Honey, the Lord takes me home before you. You better have the biggest, greatest party on earth at that church. I want you to just woo, you just party. Don't you be thinking about where I am." Because I'm not thinking about where I was. I can tell you that. We can be bold for Christ, lovingly bold. I'm not talking obnoxious, rude, arrogant, self-righteous. I'm talking about heart to heart, face to face, lovingly bold, caring, compassionate, just sharing the truth about who Jesus is, what he's done for us, what his standards are. Being men and women, did you ever hear of the phrase "men and women of conviction"? We need to be like that for the glory of God. Here's my prayer for us at Koinonia. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." What a witness this church was at Thessalonica. Here they were, former idol worshipers, converted by the grace of God, changed for Jesus Christ, living testimonies. Paul says you were a witness to the whole area of Macedonia and Achaia. From you sounded out the word of the Lord every place. In fact, when the apostles made a return journey to see how they were doing, if they went to the marketplace, or let's just say that they were living in our day and age, if they went to the YMCA where they worked out, if they went to the colleges, if they went to the marketplace, and Paul and the apostles would be witnessing, they go, yeah, we heard about it. Those people over at that church in Thessalonica, they gave us a tract, they gave us a CD, they witnessed to us, they shared with us. Paul says, we don't have anybody to talk to because you guys did it all. Isn't that great? That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's how we're supposed to be living. Every place we go, making an impact for Jesus Christ. Maybe we got the gospel. Maybe we got this whole evangelism thing backwards. See, what we do is we invite people to church. Great. Do that. We should. Jesus said, come to me. But you know what he told us? He says, you go to the highways. You go to the hedges. You go to the byways. You go to the down and out. You go to the dirty. You go to the needy. And you bring the gospel to me. And when you share the gospel to me and you live that way before them, then I'm going to tell them, come to me. Right? You don't look convinced. That sounds risky. Didn't Jesus? Remember one of the things about the Pharisees? About Jesus that bothered them? He's a friend with publicans, sinners. Can you imagine? I'm glad he is. Boy, am I glad. If he wasn't a friend of publicans and sinners, I wouldn't be here. And we need to be the ones who bring the gospel to the lost. Live the gospel of Jesus Christ in such a way that it's salt and that it's light. What's the result? You may be harassed. You may be mocked. You may get burned. You may be persecuted. You may be martyred. But the most important thing is that you and I be obedient for him. Well, so far this morning, all I've done is talk to the family of God. And you're here, and maybe you've never been born again. But I know why you're here. You say, oh yeah, my spouse, my roommate, my co-worker told you I was coming. No. I'm not saying in that context. I know why you're here. We serve a God that orders our steps and orders our stops. You're here by divine appointment. Or you may have just walked in off the street because deep down in your heart, there has been things going on in your life or things going on in your world that have just thrown you for a loop. Now, I want to make it very clear to you. The gospel of Jesus Christ isn't come to Jesus and he'll hear your marriage, for he might. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not come to me and he will make you healthy and wealthy. The gospel of Jesus doesn't mean you come to Christ and all of your problems are going to go away. You'll never have another problem after you get saved. That's not the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is this: repent and trust in Christ as a sinner. Jesus, remember earlier I spoke about your soul? Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Who has your soul this morning, my friend? But I wanted to close with these words of Jesus. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him has God the Father sealed. How many people are living their lives, giving their all to things that are going to perish? Devoted to a job, devoted to a career, devoted to a religion, devoted to a this or to a that. And yet, you have this eternal soul, and the only one who can redeem that soul is Jesus Christ. Don't labor for things that perish, but for that which endures unto everlasting life. Bless the Lord,
oh my soul, bless his holy. Join us on Monday at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Sela, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.